guys. Welcome to the next episode of Dot Game. In this episode, we're going to continue our project by our inventory project by building out some more of the logic. So let's go ahead and get started. We still don't see anything in here because we haven't set it up to go through and like loop and add these icons. That's actually what we will do next. So we'll leave the one there. We're going to come over to the UI controller in the start. So just say add logic for detecting available bag slots. And then on this one, we're going to add logic for items to fill up the inventory slots. That's really worded funny, but whatever. So I've already done the scroll view. We are good there. We have that reference. So if we do another loop through, we're going to do inventory or player inventory details. We're going to loop through the count of these. Now, the thing that you can do that's nice, so we can go, we're going to do the content. So remember, that's the content panel that we're, I think I unplayed this, but actually let me explain it this way. So we have the content panel, and then we have all these things that are created. And what we want to do is we want to loop through each of these in line with looping through each of the inventory items that are in that list. So there's already a design flaw with this that I guess I'll touch on a little bit. Actually, let me, in hindsight, let's get this set up and then it'll be easier to explain the design flaw. So we can do the scroll view content and then we'll do get child. So you can get a child by an index, in which case we're gonna pass in I. And then we want to find the child's item image. And did I? Oh, I did. I'll show you what this looks like. And then we're going to get the component. We're going to get the image. That sprite. And we're going to set the sprite to be their inventory details. All right. So this might look a little confusing. Let me explain the hierarchy. So basically, like I said, we're going to look through this because that's where our reference is. We're going to get the child at whatever index I is equal to. So let's say it's 0 for now, the first one that it loops through. That means we're going to get this child. Then we're going to find the child of that game object called item image, which happens to be the only one that we have in there, but that's okay. We're going to get this child. And then from there, we're going to get the image component, particularly the sprite, and then we're going to set that to player inventory details is, so our player inventory, the inventory items, so that list of items that the player actually has or owns, the same element in that. So we're basically kind of looping down both lists in the same position. And then we're going to grab the sprite and we're going to tie it back to it. So I think that's actually all we would need to do it. So we can see we had one item, we had the mana potion, which has the question mark because I still haven't gone around to making pretty sprites yet. But we have the item that's there, that element that's tied to it. Now, the design flaw with this is great if you don't allow the user the ability to organize their backspace in any way, shape, or form. I think that's a bad design. I know that I personally have like a really specific organization that I tend to do when I play games. Especially when it's this style of a UI. So really what you'd probably want to do with this logic is get a little bit more in depth where the individual, somehow you're storing the item's position as it relates to the bag space that you have available. But then you'd also need fallback logic. So that's the reason I've stayed away from this is because that logic in itself can kind of cascade into additional logic. What happens if you have this item tied to the last position and you for some reason lose the ability to hold 15 things and then you hold 14. Well, that means this item now has to get tied to the second to last position, or maybe it gets pushed up, right? So it kind of cascades into a whole bunch of design logic, but not in a bad way, just ends up getting a little bit more complicated. So we're going to keep it nice and simple in that they can't reorganize anything, but we will display the items in it. Oops. All right, so moving into the next portion of this, we need to set up the currency. So we actually do the calculation that's tied to it. Because we've done the helper method already on our inventory details, it's actually pretty easy to do. And I know that I'm going to want to update the currency later, so I'm not going to pull this into its own method. We'll do... So we're going to update the currency. And we're going to do... we're going to call that method. Sorry, I was thinking. I think I need caffeine today. So we're going to call the player inventory details, if we hit the right buttons, player inventory details, get coin by currency. So we're going to get that array. And then we're going to feed that array into three text properties. So I'm going to copy backspace text, and we're going to call this copper currency text. And then I'm going to do the same thing. So we're going to do silver, and then we're going to do gold. We're going to copy the ones. As you can tell, I tend to just like copy and paste my code a lot, especially when the majority of it is very similar. If you're new to programming, I recommend that you don't copy and paste and that you spend the time typing everything out, because that tends to be the best way to learn or work with muscle memory. I was trying to remember where I'm going. So I'm still going in footer, but now I'm going into currency details instead of bag details. And then we're going to go coin copper. And then I think we're going to go, one more into text. And then that's going to be the end. So we're going to do the same thing for silver. We're going to say same thing for gold. Just because my typing is not where it should be, I'm going to copy these out. Obviously, you can tell, but that has gotten me quite a bit. Totally spelled currency wrong. Oh, well. It's gone too deep. Okay. So we're getting the reference to copper, silver, and gold. Hopefully, we're getting the right reference. We'll find out if this fails when we go to do it. So the next thing down in our updated currency is really just to set the text. So we know that 0 is always going to be copper. We'll just copy this, silver. And then 1 is going to be silver. And then gold. And 2 will be gold. Okay. So the last thing that we want to do for this is set this update. We're going to call this in our start. All right. So when we push play, this whole thing should get filled out properly. And it looks like it did. I'm not going to go reverse engineer my math. I feel pretty confident in it. I'm going to eat my words if I am wrong. I reverse engineered this a few times before to make sure I was doing it right. But we can see that we have 2 gold, 46 silver, and 67 copper. So that definitely changed from 299 and 99, I think it was. We've got our bag slots, 15. We've got this thing. Our mana potion is listed. So now we have all of our data that's properly populating this. And we're almost there. So the next thing, really kind of the last major thing that we're going to do is we're going to hook up the buy logic of our store UI. To do this, we have to add our second helper method that I mentioned earlier on the item script. So again, because the coin is being separated into those three things, rather than refactoring, we're just going to add a method that will do the proper copper calculation so that we can compare the two values very easily. So we'll do purchase price in copper, and then copper coins. Oops, I know I didn't hit that. I swear I didn't. Coins equals 0. So we'll set it to 0. Now, I'm going to use a technique here, copper coins, that I'll put a little caveat on towards the end, because I'm going to use lambda. Oh, I do have link. Perfect. So You want to use the clause that I'm about to use, you want to make sure that you're using system.link. But basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to go copper coins plus equals purchase price. So purchase price is, why am I not seeing you? Oh, it's right here. It was highlighted and I was looking over it. So it's a list of these currency definitions. I think actually this might have been something else that I did change. I think this was an array originally. So I did refactor a little. Sorry about that. If memory serves me, this was an array. I've changed it to a list. But we can do so purchase price dot where. Again, if you're missing where, make sure that you have link up above. And then we're going to go x currency dot name. Oops, big name. Equals, and then we're going to go copper. Ooh, I think this is actually, yeah, it was copper coin. Copper coin. And then we're going to add a select. Select. I'll walk through this a little bit more and explain it for anyone who's not familiar with this syntax, because I will admit I wasn't for a long time. And then I found it, and now I love it. Okay. So this is a lambda statement. Now, my caveat as I go to explain this is, and this might be different now, but a year and some change ago, I had heard that if you do lambda expressions and you're targeting iOS with Unity, Unity doesn't compile it properly, so it won't execute the code correctly. Now, I myself have built a game for Android and then, of course, Windows, and neither one has a problem converting or processing the code. But if you're targeting iOS, my caveat is go and just double check that either A, that was fixed, or B, I'm wrong, and that it does work on that. So you could run into some problems. Now, to jump into explaining what I've just written, basically what we're doing is we're saying, hey, purchase price, let's find the element that meets this criteria. So let's find the element that has the currency name equal to copper coin. And then I'm saying, and once you do find that, I want to select the amount of that. And then this line here, this default empty. So what I added this for is to account for a scenario where it doesn't have a particular currency tied to it. So for example, the mana potion and the health potion do not have gold coin tied to it. I don't even know if they have copper. I think they might just have silver. So they're missing one of the three coins we're going to look for. And this is basically saying if it's empty or null, if we don't find anything, default to zero, in which case no math will happen, which you'll see in the next one because this one's just defaulting to zero. But we'll do like 0 times 99 in a second, and it'll just be like what 0.99 is, zero. So it kind of allows us to avoid airing out and to just kind of iterate through each one. And then this is just saying, grab me a single one of it. So like I said, this is actually super handy to do. So what we're going to do copper coins. So we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to check for silver next. Silver coin. And then this is going to get a little bit more complicated in that we're going to want to multiply this by 99 because we want to take the silver and get the copper equivalent of what that coin is, or copper value equivalent of it. We're going to do the same thing, but we're going to go gold coin, and then we're going to do, so we got to go twice, so we're going to have to, this first one converts us to silver, this next one is going to convert us to copper. And then we returned. So the raw price of copper is copper, so we don't need to do any weird conversion. We just need to get the reference. Silver, we're going to have to times that by 99 to get the copper version of it, or conversion, I guess I should say. And then gold is, we do 99, that gets us silver. We do it again, and then that's going to get us the copper value. And then we'll return that. So now we'll be able to compare the raw copper value of whatever the item is to the copper value that we're storing within our player, player inventory details. So there's that. Now we're going to pop over to the store UI controller. That's where our buy logic is going to live, because now we're working with, so let's push play. Refresh your memory a little bit, and for those of you who are kind of coming into the series a little late, If we click on this merchant, you can see the shop popped up. We have these buy buttons. We're going to build the logic for doing some of the purchase. It's actually going to split across two areas, but the onClick is going to live on the same script that exists here. And then the actual purchase logic, we're going to have live on the script that lives on this button, the inventory or screen script, essentially. So we're gonna use both areas. So if we pop up to, I'm on the store UI controller. We're going to add two things. On start, we're going to get a reference to, I'm trying to think, one of these references. I don't know if we'll need it for sure. Okay, so we'll do this. We'll do the UI controller. We know we're going to work with that. Player inventory UI. We're going to want to communicate with it, if you will. We're just going to copy this down. So basically what we're doing is we're grabbing a reference to the inventory UI. That's the script that we've been working on. And we're just going to find the object of type because we should really only have one of these that live in the scene. We could technically turn this into a singleton. I need to find a good reference for that pattern. For now, this will work. And then we also want a reference to, we have it. So the merchant inventory details. I might have missed deleting this when I was rolling it back. So if you're following along, just double check that your store UI controller has this reference for merchant inventory details. I can't remember for sure if it was there already. I don't think it was. Oh, geez, I'm sorry about this, guys. I'm going to have to jump around a little bit in my explanation on how to set this up. Okay, so we've got the merchant inventory reference that's going to let us access the copper details. And really, what we needed is access to the original data list to work with. And what we're doing is when we populate inventory, we're going to assign that reference at this stage because we're already feeding this value in. So we're going to take this reference and we're going to assign it to the inventory. So we just hold it for the length of the time that we're working with this window. The other thing that I'm assuming I didn't delete off was under clear inventory, we're clearing out the reference to where it is. So every time clear inventory is called, we're clearing out our merchant inventory reference. And every time we're populating the data, we're resetting that reference so that we can do some searching through it and get the right work with basically any helper methods that we have. Okay, so we're going to add another method. So we'll call this buy on click. We're going to go item, purchased item. So we want to basically grab a reference of the item that it is that we're purchasing. So we're doing the same kind of lambda expression. Name equals. And then the name that we're passing in. So we're going to take advantage of the event system once again. So we can detect which game object triggered this. Oh, I do have it. That's good. Which game object triggered this by accessing the event system? You go event system.current, which is the current event system, and then current selected game object. And then we're going to grab. So with the current selected game object, that's going to give us our buy button. But we need to go a little bit deeper than that because we need to get the actual name, the text name of the element. So to go a little bit deeper, we can go transform. So we're just going to follow the same logic because now we have access to the game object. Parent, I'm going to bring this onto the next line. Actually, let's go. You can see this a little bit better. There we go. So transform.parent. We're going to find the child of the parent called name. And we'll look through the hierarchy here in a second so that you can see. And then we'll get component. And then we're going to get the text of it. And text. I think that is it. OK. So again, because I know we're kind of traversing hierarchy, it can be easy to get a little lost in this. But basically, again, so we're going to get the selected game object. So we're going to get the button. Let's pull this guy up so you can see. Okay, so if we were to push the button here, we're going to go up a level. So let's look at scroll view content. There we are. So this, I think it's the first one. Yeah, simple wood staff. So if we were to click the button, we're gonna be here. We're gonna wanna go up to here and then back down to name. So that's essentially what we're doing. Although I feel like we didn't go up high enough. I think we need to do two parents. Pretty sure we're gonna fail on this, but let's see. Gives us a chance to, I guess, figure out, do some debugging. Okay, so if purchase, let's finish this out. So if the purchased item is equal to null, we're gonna debug. We're just gonna log something out that says unable to find item in merchant database. And then we'll just fail out of this. Now, we need one more check. We'll say else if purchased item dot purchase price in copper. So this is where we're gonna do our comparison to see if we even have enough money to buy this. So if purchase price in copper is greater than or equal to player inventory UI, oh, that must be why player inventory, I don't have access to this. Player inventory UI. Need to turn this public. There we go. Player inventory details, and then we'll call this, what was it, copper? We're just gonna compare it to the raw copper coins. So basically, we don't have enough money. We're gonna do another debug. Cannot afford item. And then we'll also return out of this. We could go a little bit more crazy and say we can't afford it and print out the prices and stuff, the string format, but we've kind of already gone through that. If you're debugging, that would be more useful of a stage. Okay, but so basically if we can't find the item or we don't have enough money, we don't do anything. Now, if we're still going, then that means we're good. What we want to do on here, because this, like I said, the player inventory UI controller is going to handle our logic for actually completing the transaction. So it's going to be where, or part of the transaction logic in terms of deducting the money and then also adding the item to the player's inventory. So we're going to add a purchase item method here. And then we'll come back and fill this logic out in a second, but let's finish out here. So player inventory UI purchase item. Oh, and then we're gonna want to pass in, purchased item. Pass in the reference. Okay. The next thing that we want to do, so merchant inventory, inventory items, we're going to remove the purchased item. And then we're going to populate the inventory and we're going to pass in the merchant inventory. So we're going to handle the logic of actually adding the item to the player's inventory and the currency in purchase item. We'll deal with that in a second. But the rest of it is for the merchant inventory, so what the merchant has for sale, we're going to remove the purchased item. And then we're going to call populate inventory and pass in the reference of the merchant inventory to force the store UI to refresh to drop that item from the list since it doesn't exist anymore. Now the other thing, so we have this now at the, am I verified? Oh, I did delete it. That's good. Okay. The last thing on the store UI controller logic is hooking up the button for the onClick. So you can do this in the UI like I've shown you a couple of times now, or you can do it programmatically. So that's the route we're going to take for this. As we're going through and we're creating each one of these, we're going to add a listener for the button callback. So I'm actually in the wrong spot here. We want to do this as part of the loop of items. What we'll do is we'll do new item, transform, find child. we'll go currency by button. Oops. Get component. So we're going to just get the button component. And we'll do the on click, and we're going to add a listener. And then we'll do by on click. And then that's it for that. So let's pop over to the player UI controller real quick. We'll finish out this player inventory UI controller, I should say. We'll finish out this logic here. So we want to do a few things. We're going to deduct money from the player. Then we're going to add the item to the player's inventory. Just break this out real quick. And then we're going to add it to the UI screen. So to deduct the money, we're going to do player, oops. Ah, this keyboard, it's like I love and I hate it all at once. There we go. All right, let's try that again. Player inventory, details, copper coins. And then we're going to do item purchased. Oh, purchased item. Purchase price in copper. So that'll deduct it. Then we'll go player inventory details. Player, what did I call this? Items. Add. And then we'll do purchased item. So this is going to add it to the list of things. And then we want to refresh the UI screen. So we'll go scroll view content, get child. We're going to do that same thing, but we're going to do player inventory, inventory items. So this is how we're going to get the next available slot, essentially. We'll get the count, and then we're going to just subtract that by one, and that gives us the positioning that we need to be at. And we'll do find child, and we'll do, again, the item image, because that's the child name of the child component, and then we're going to do, or child game object, I mean to say. We're going to get the component for image. We're going to say sprite, and then we'll do equals. I'll just go on the next line. Player inventory details, item, inventory items. And then it's the same thing. So it's player. Could totally have put this in an index for cleaner reading, or in a variable for cleaner reading, because it's basically the same thing. On sprite. Okay, so to kind of recap this rather lengthy line, we're getting the child based off of because we coded this up knowing that we're always going to be in line in terms of filled objects and their positioning. That's worded very poorly. Because we know we are going to always have an item. In this, that's in line with our inventory items. In other words, you can't reorganize your bag. We can rely on this this value to tell us the next position that we wanted. Now, if you were, again, this is part of that, the design cascades quite a bit, that if you're doing reorganization, this logic would be completely different. But we're getting the item image, and then we're going to set the sprite to be whatever the last item is that was added to our list, essentially. So we'll see the sprite kind of pop up. I think that's it. We're probably going to have the bug in that one area. We'll see. Yeah. Where are you yelling? Oh, did it lose its reference? Yes. We lost our player inventory data reference again. I guess because I had changed something. Okay. All right. So if we go to her, we see she has the four items. We do simple wood stuff and we buy. I figured we would air out here. I think we need to go up one more. All right. Let's try this one more time. Should I just change that to begin with? Not sure how my notes were wrong. Thought maybe my intuition was. Okay, so if we do buy, we can see it's now removed off of this list. It's been added here. I don't think this got updated, and that would be because I didn't update the currency. So the amount of currency that our person had in theory went down, but we didn't visually see it because we skipped updating the UI window. Here, currency. So we'll call it update currency again. So let's take a look. And I know the icons are the same, so it's a little hard to tell. But we can see that when we look at the actual data, that the list went up by one, and we can see that it's now got the basic staff. And if we look at the merchant's inventory data, we can see they only have the three items. So we can see that the transaction actually did occur. Let's take a look here. So we're watching these numbers again. Let's do, oh, I added copper to my health potion. Good for me. Still did not see, did it go? No, it's definitely not. Okay. Nice, let's see what's happening. What do we have? Let's reset our data real quick. Let's do the 4. Mana potion, and then we'll clear this out. Give us a fresh start. All right, so we're going to buy 99 and 15. Our copper coins, 24223. Actually, let's do this because I probably will forget our numbers. And let's do this. Ah, well, that is our problem. Purchase price in copper. Oh, it's these. It's got to be having trouble finding these. Let's see. Yes, let's, oops. Okay. Okay, so we have purchase price. You see that it's 99 currency, copper space coin. So again, this is actually probably not the best design. So if we ever wanted to name or rechange the name of our currency, we were kind of tied to this. I'd probably do more of like a unique ID style tied to it. Okay, so 2 and 3, let's take a look. Ah, I do see that it dropped. So let's do this. Maximize. So we have the 2, 44, 64, and 2. If we buy, we can see it dropped to 42, and the merchant now has nothing. So that looks like it completes the base of our logic and really this particular episode. So we kind of went through a lot of coding in this and kind of hit it with a lot of stuff. The challenge, because we've kind of hit the point where we're for this particular project and what we have to learn, we're reviewing the fundamentals and kind of just re-putting everything that we've been doing back to practice, but in slightly different ways, just to kind of reiterate and get that to kind of stick and get us thinking in more creative ways, I guess, on how we can use those types of things. So to support that, the challenge for this episode is to hook up the ability to sell an item back to the vendor. So the way that I would do this is probably tie it to a specific button, like a mouse click. So usually if like you have the store UI, and then you have your inventory up and you right click on an individual item, it should detect that maybe the store UI is visible and then it tries to delete it, or not delete it, but to sell it. And then remember in the item, we defined a price reduction. So usually when you buy an item, and technically, it's usually if you buy an item and then you've closed down the store window and then you come back, it reduces the price of it. You can choose to ignore that type of logic and just say that factor in that price reduction. I think it's like 10% is what we defaulted it to the value that gets sold back, and then do the currency. So you're basically just going to do the opposite of the buy type of logic and then also still tie that to some sort of button. And if you wanted to get really crazy, you could hook up the destroy logic. So if you don't have the merchant's store UI on, and you right click, then maybe that just means that the player's interested in destroying it. So don't worry about the notion of dragging and dropping. We're gonna tackle that in an upcoming episode, because we're gonna start to build out the equipment side of the fence, the player equipment area. So we're gonna tackle the idea of kind of dragging and dropping on there. So I think that is everything. Thanks for joining, and I'll see you guys next time.